Hello, everyone. This is PJ Williams from Conspiracy Pilled, and we are now about halfway through Pride Month. And if you're not entirely sick of it yet, we have a really interesting episode for you guys. Actually, probably more if you are entirely sick of it. We have a throwback to an episode from Conspiracy Pilled Unhinged from last year in June. And if you don't know what Conspiracy Pilled Unhinged is, it's our bonus weekly content you can get over on Locals. So you can go to conspiracypilled.locals.com. And for just $5 a month, you get a bonus episode every single week. Last night, we recorded episode 67. And the one I'm about to share with you is a part from last year's episode 19 of Conspiracy Pilled Unhinged, where we get into the demonic history of Pride Month and how it is quite literally a 4,000-year-old pagan celebration from Mesopotamia, and how the modern LGBT IDGAF cult is still worshiping the same gods from over 4,000 years ago. So please enjoy this episode, share it with your friends, support the show, come over to conspiracypilled.locals.com and get another bonus weekly episode every week. Now onto the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our 19th episode of our Unhinged content. We are going to be talking about the demonic history of Pride Month, and that is not hyperbole at all. like I feel like it's one of those titles that someone would come in and go like, oh, this is, inflammatory hyperbole, hyperbolic language. I'm like, no, it's just literal. We're going to be going through the literal origins of how and why this is a demonic celebration 4,000 years old. So
nice. Let's do it.
Abby's just the one word, like chilling in the background with her one word phrases. All right. So really quick, we did tell people that this was going to be, you know, once a month we take the videos you guys send us and we play them and talk about them and kind of give our thoughts on different things that are going on. That was the idea for tonight's episode. And it started with one video that was sent to me by a few different people, one of them being Elise, the host of Quirks of Creation, but I don't remember who all sent this to me. A bunch of you sent this to me. And I don't think people maybe knew that I was reading the book by Jonathan Cahn called Return of the Gods, which is who the TikTok is about. And because of that and things going on with Target, and obviously Pride Month is coming up in a few days, we're going to be covering that TikTok and some other ones that we found and kind of talking about this whole subject. And then next week, Jess Holmes from Quirks of Creation is going to be joining us, and we're going to be going through all the videos that I saved from you guys and reacting to them. There's some good stuff in there about like Nexrad, like weather manipulation stuff. And there's like this demonic baby commercial that somebody sent me, and some conspiracy stuff around the Clintons. So there's like all kinds of cool stuff that we're going to get into that you guys have sent us user submitted videos. But I want to start with this one. I should probably prep and have like the screen share thing already before
we are professionals.
We are so professionals. So professional. This, okay, real quick, this one's 4 minutes long, so we don't have to play the whole thing, or we can skip around, or we can pause it. But I want to set it up with this, and then I've got other stuff to show you. So this is from Jonathan Cahn about Ashtoreth.
Called Ashtoreth. She in Mesopotamia, she's called Ishtar. When she went into the Greek land, she was called Aphrodite and then Venus. She is all over. Hmm. And she's mentioned specifically there. Now, in the Canaanite mythology, she's actually the wife of Baal. So Baal has a wife. Okay. And so when Baal comes, the next one to come, it says in the Bible, says Baal, then it says Ashtoreth. Then she's coming in. So what this means is once the door is open, she is the goddess of sexuality, of sexual immorality. She's the goddess. She's actually called a prostitute. She is the goddess who her temples were filled with sexuality. All it was made it public.
Really quick, what he's talking about, because I have been reading this book and been wanting to talk about some of these concepts is he's talking about this idea that we mentioned probably last week and a few times last week, this idea that once a vessel is that was possessed by that had the Holy Spirit in it, right? Like whether that's a person or if you take a nation or a person that was possessed by a demon, you cast the demon out. This is a parable in the Bible,
right?
You don't fill it with the Holy Spirit, then a bunch of demons come in. That's the concept of his book. And he's saying that this is America and that America had God and then we cast God out. I mean, didn't Obama say like, this is no longer a Christian nation? Like it's been a long time coming. Mm. And in his book, he gives the order, which is Baal comes in. And when Baal is finally like completely set in America, we put the bull, the bronze bull on Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And he gives like his timeline. I have some difference of opinion of like how early we saw this coming in with the worship of money, like especially in the early 20th century, like essentially child slave labor was a thing in America. Not exactly, but you know what I mean? Like children were dying in factories for rich, yeah. Rockefellers and stuff like that to become wealthy. So it seems like America became that a long time before I think he says it. And some other stuff. But anyway, that's some of the context he's talking about. Baal first, and we're going to be talking about Ishtar specifically in this episode. So
if she returns, what would happen? If she comes back, it means that America is going to undergo a sexual revolution. That is the sign of the possession of Ishtar or this goddess. And the thing is, so sex comes, what a prostitute is she actually damages marriage. She actually weakens marriage. That's what happens. Bring sexuality into the culture. In ancient times in Israel, in the Middle East, she put her images of naked people all over the cultures. And so not only she was in her Greek form, she gave birth to a child named Eros. We get the word erotica. So erotica starts flooding America. The word for prostitute, which is what she was in her Greek incarnation, is the word porne. We get the word porn from it. So there's an explosion of pornography all over the culture. So what Baal does, in one sense, she's repaganized. She's overturning biblical standards of sexuality and marriage, and she is paganizing our culture through sexuality and through.
So far, anything he said that's not in fruition in the West today?
Yeah, it's all very. It's one of those, like, you hear it and it sounds crazy and then you hear it a little bit more and you're like, but that's so obvious. And I think that what the stories the Greeks were telling were like the child of this, the product of this spirit, right?
Right.
Yeah. What flows out of Ishtar is porn and erotica and all of that.
Right. Yeah. What flows out of Ishtar porne is erotic, fixation of the culture. Exactly.
Yes. Possessing it. And she's also the goddess of spells and witchcraft. Hmm. So she casts her spell on America and we are still in it to this day.
And that's also important because some of the stuff we're going to be getting into tonight, if you guys haven't noticed, the LGBTQ community is oddly, but not oddly if you understand it, obsessed with the occult and witchcraft.
Witchcraft, yeah.
Yes. And there's a reason for that.
And it goes further, Sid, because something strange about the goddess, and that is that has to do with gender. Because what she also did, let me tell you, in her ancient inscriptions, I'm looking at these ancient inscriptions, she says, I am a woman, I am a man. It said in her hymns, it says she has the power to transform a man into a woman and a woman into a man. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen if she comes into the culture? You're going to start seeing what she's going to do is she's going to start masculinizing women, defeminizing women, and feminizing men. That touches everything. I mean, touches our culture, touches the roles, touches radical feminism and sexuality. And so all this stuff that we're having, saying, how could this happen? This is all the goddess. This is all, it's all there. It even goes further. She had a priesthood. Her priests, listen to this, in her temples, they were men who dressed up as women. And they acted as women, dressed up. So what's going to happen if she comes back? What's going to happen is, as she possesses a culture, is that men will start dressing, we'll start seeing that in our culture, which we do. These are her ancient priesthood. Also, they were involved in same-sex sexuality. We see that explosion as well. Also, it says, remember, she says she turns men into women, transitions them, and women into men. Her priest, many of her priests.
I find this part interesting because we've made this point before, right? That there's nothing about transgenderism that is secular atheism. right? Secular, sure, not atheist.
Yeah, it's the belief that a soul is separate from a body and you could have a female soul and a male body or vice versa. That's a very religious belief.
Or through belief and sacrifice, you can make the immaterial material, right? Like this, like that you can actually transform something physical into something spiritual that's more real than the physical. That's a religious belief. And I find it funny because we're going to show even more of this, but I've said this for a while that there is a like when they don't have an argument, they go back to, well, this is ancient. Well, they're not wrong. It is ancient. This particular religion is 4,000 years old. And then they'll talk about two spirit. Even Justin Trudeau has claimed the two spirit thing, which is a native, I don't know if it's just Native American, but like this ancient pagan. This Native American idea of having a male and female spirit inhabiting one body. Right. So that is also an extremely spiritual belief. So, and it's right in, like, they're not hiding that this is a spiritual religious movement, but we'll go on with that in just a second.
So we're actually surgically altered, and she, especially all the gods, but she goes after, they go after the children, because if you have the children, you have the future. And so that happened in ancient times, happening now. And so you think, what would possess an adult to do this to children? Well, what would possess it? The spirit. This is what, the spirit of the goddess. Mm. And I'm going to go even farther, because this is mind-boggling. And that is that the goddess was in charge, she was a goddess of parades. She had parades happening all over. And when I looked at the ancient inscriptions of the parades, it describes them, and it says in the parades, the men would dress up as women in the parades, the women would dress as men, it would be a parade of gender bending, and that's exactly what, when you see this happening now, that's the sign of the goddess. And, Sid, it's even like more mind-boggling, because I'm looking at this, and I look at the ancient observers, and they said, when did this thing happen? They said it happened, even St. Jerome, it happened in the month, they called it in Latin, Junium. June was the month of the goddess.
Yeah. Yep. So again, this is ancient. It goes back a long ways. And I've been reading his book and I've been checking these things, and I want to show some of that and what I've found and what he's talking about, and then show that I'm not the only one noticing this. And there's actually people on the side of this is good, acknowledging that this is who they're worshiping, that this is the point of it. And I want to go into all that. Do you have any thoughts on his thing before I talk about Tammuz and the history of this?
I did want to point out one of the things that they bring up as a reason that transgenderism is good, or that homosexuality is good, is how ancient it is. They're like, well, cultures have been doing this for thousands of years. Yes. And it's always in service of the old gods. It's always a demonic thing. It's never just something people do because they independently want to.
Right. And they say that about abortion too. And it's like, yes, but also literally throwing children into fiery pits as sacrifices to their gods. Like, are we going to say that's good now? Like, we're on the verge of saying that's good now. We saw Ralph Northam saying, well, if a child is born when we meant to kill it, maybe we'll just like leave it on a table to die. Yeah. That's what the Romans did, by the way. Or no, the Greeks. Both, right?
Yeah.
If a child was born in Greece or Rome, both, definitely the Spartans did this.
Yeah.
And they thought, maybe this child looks weak. Here's what we'll do. We'll put it on a rock in the sun for 3 days. And if it dies, it dies. And if it lives, then it's strong. So Ralph Northam, governor of Virginia?
It was Virginia.
West Virginia?
Regular Virginia.
Okay. Sorry, I couldn't remember which one. Ralph Northam says if a child's born alive and they didn't want it, let's just leave it on the table and see if it dies, right? So like, we're bringing back these ancient pagan practices. And I'm going to show you that it's not just our side, the more Christian conservative side, the conspiracy side that's noticing it. It's the people on the other side who are doing this, praising it, calling out for what it is. So really quickly to give a little bit more context to this June celebration. This goes back to, and what's interesting, we're going to probably use the name Ishtar as he does. Because there's so many names, but I want to make it clear that it's not just people like us who have this theory that seems to be borne out, that these ancient gods, these fallen angels, these demonic beings went to every culture, called themselves a different name, but were the same things throughout all of cultures. Because even the historical secular atheist side of this argument will say, obviously the people saw Ashtoreth and then started calling her Inanna. And mm-hmm. then that was Sumerian. And then the Sumerians became Babylonians and they called her Ishtar. And then the Greeks adopted it through Aphrodite and the Romans took it as Venus. Mm-hmm. I would go further and say that the Egyptians and this worshipped Isis because the symbolism is the exact same. So mm-hmm. everybody's recognizing that this one ancient goddess was worshipped by different cultures with the same mythology under different names, that it is yeah. the same worship.
Person.
Yeah. Same person, same worship.
Same person, same worship. Same effects, same, everything that matters about her is the same.
Yeah, so she started off in all these cultures as a fertility goddess, as like an inn. Like, oh, we want fertility, right? Right. And then it's like, well, actually, I'm going to destroy marriage and mutilate your kids.
Yeah.
But she then became then as people got to know this fallen being, this demonic goddess, she became known as the goddess of contradictory connotations. So she would be the goddess of both things like fire and fire quenching, of love and of sorrow, of all these contradictory ideas. Then as she developed more, she also became this transgender goddess of war. So she was, and what he says is right. In her hymns, she says, I can present myself as a man to these people. I can mm-hmm. present myself as a female to these people. My worshipers will transition and actually go from men to becoming women and vice versa. And all of that. And what I find the most interesting is that, and I think she's still worshipped today by a lot of people who don't realize it, she's known as the Queen of Heaven. And there are many cultures today in South America who worship the Queen of Heaven, who very much sounds like they're Catholic.
That's what they call Mary.
Right. And that's, and I was listening to Paul Wallace this week saying he went down to Brazil and was at this Catholic mass who was worshiping the Queen of Heaven and their harvest rituals. And then it became very clear they were not talking about Mary. Mm-hmm. They were talking about Ishtar. So that's something to chew on. But this Pride Month thing, right? So there's this really messed up story that I got to tell really quick before I show you guys some more videos. And that is about her lover named Tammuz. And what's interesting about Ishtar's lover named Tammuz, he was also her son. So there's an incestuous disgustingness with this whole, yeah, pretty gross. And she betrayed him and he died. And he went down into the underworld and she missed having sex with her son so much that she I know it's really gross, but this is literally the origins of Pride Month and why it's such a disgusting festival. She descends down into hell. She realizes that, or Hades, she realizes that she has to go through these seven gates. And she has to remove more clothing and do these sexually depraved things to get through each gate. There's even parts of her mythology that talk about how she would descend to hell because the sex was better. This idea of this demonic, otherworldly, grotesque, degrading sex acts were fulfilling to her.
Sex magic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's exactly sex to open portals. Sex magic.
This is literally what Aleister Crowley was doing. Literally what? Yes. Okay.
Yes, and yeah, it's very clear, and she, yeah, Jack Parsons, and she is the goddess of sex and witchcraft. So it makes a lot of sense, that's right?
Perfect. So sex magic is in service to her or using her power.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I believe so. And the Sumerians would then celebrate her descent into hell and her, you have a thought?
So, sorry, I'm putting this together. So Baal, the sacrifice you give to Baal is you sacrifice your child. You kill your child for money.
Yes, that is the sacrifice
for Baal. And but the sacrifice to Ishtar is sex magic, is the ritual abuse, that kind of stuff.
Sacrificing children's innocence, things like that. And they're husband and wife in many mythologies.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And they bore Moloch, which makes it very interesting because there's this original like sacrifice for money, which is, and Baal's other thing is to become the god of all gods. He's omnipotent. He's big, he's huge. And that, and when Baal worship comes into a country, they push out Yahweh, they push out God and they empty themselves, which allows them to be filled with lust of Ishtar. And once that happens, you see even more child sacrifice to their son Molech. And it's funny because the order of events in America, in the West, is the worship of money, the worship of Baal, the getting rid of God, right? The atheizing of a country.
Yeah.
Then the worship of sex. And then what do we have? That was 1969 with the Stonewall Riots, is the case that Jonathan Cahn makes, where the gay movement was born out. And it's more than that if you want to go into, there's stuff in the 50s. It's a whole long story. I'm not going to get into it today. But there's a whole sexual revolution is a big thing that happens in the 60s. Started even earlier. But in the 60s, it was very prevalent. By 1969, you've got the Stonewall Riots, and that's where the gay pride parades come from.
Okay.
Then 1973, what do we have? We have child sacrifice on a grand scale with Roe v. Wade.
Yeah. So that's the order. Baal.
So he's not wrong to say, like, this is the same ancient order coming to fruition in the West.
Wow. I think.
But going back to Tammuz, I want to finish this point really quick. So the Sumerians and the Babylonians would celebrate her descent into hell and her bringing back Tammuz for 6 months from the summer solstice to the winter solstice. So he was the original story of Persephone, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And that is why they would do these giant parades to Ishtar, to her degraded hell. Her degraded sex acts in hell were celebrated for a whole month to the rising up of her son, her incestuous relationship with her son. This is literally the 4,000-year-old tradition of where Pride Month comes from. And the reason I wanted to tell you this whole story is because, again, you could say, well, this is what Jonathan Cahn is saying. This is what you guys are saying. You guys are Christians. You guys are conservative. You're these things. But what I find interesting is we're not the only ones saying that this is who that side is worshiping. It's actually becoming a trend on TikTok, and I'll show it to you. I'll prove it to you that this is becoming very much a thing. So here's just one example of the explaining of Ishtar from the other side of this issue.
Yeah, the LGBTQIA community, non-binary, and all of the above, I think you want to listen to this if you're into some magical stuff, especially for my trans people, non-binary, you know, gender not conforming people who are into witchcraft. Listen up. This is the goddess Ishtar. Now, back in the day, she used to have a cult, you know, in Mesopotamian, like, you know, she was a moment. She was a goddess of love, sex, beauty, war, political power. She was really, really great with many things. She was also the queen of heaven. So she's really, really powerful. But here's the thing. Her cult was, you know, basically trans, gender non-conforming, and also non-binary. So this is the thing about back in the day. It was a little different for what it is today, but all in all, if you're looking for someone to worship or have help, especially for trans people who are looking to get protected, also be helped in many ways.
Sorry, this guy talks really slow and he's got it. He's annoying, but you get my point. He's literally telling these people, if you're looking for someone to worship, here's that person. And this is not a one-off trend on TikTok, by the way. This is happening a lot. And before I get into more of those examples, I actually had one other video of Ashtoreth I wanted to show really quick, because there's another part of this movement that I think people are missing. So let me show you this really quick.
Of parades. She had parades.
Sorry. No, this is the wrong one. This is just more of Jonathan Cahn.
Okay.
Before I say, okay, let's watch some other people that are talking about this in a good light.
Did you know the goddess Inanna may be the ancient Sumerian goddess of trans people? Part two. The followers of Inanna were known as Gala and Kalu. Gala were generally described as men who wore traditionally feminine clothing, sang in a Sumerian dialect reserved for women, and some of whom even took female names. There are even descriptions of some Gala castrating themselves. Less is written about the Kalu, but they are definitely the more masculine counterpart, described as wearing men's clothing and brandishing swords. Some texts specifically describe the Gala and Kalu as neither male nor female. And we even found a fragment of a statue bearing the inscription that said Silimbazuta, Hermaphrodite of Inanna. Although all of this was seemingly accepted in ancient Sumeria, the followers of Ishtar in Assyria were not looked upon as kindly, meaning the fight for transgender acceptance may be a battle more than 4,000 years old.
Yeah, so they're claiming this as well as their same, yeah, their same fight, right?
It's always been about demon worship, you guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Always has been.
Yeah.
And that is not to say, like, I want to be clear that that is not to say that every single person who's caught up in these movements is purposely doing it to worship demons. I think that these demons are out there pulling people in, bending people's minds in this direction, because that's what they do. So if somebody is experiencing gender dysphoria, they need to recognize that that's a demonic oppression. That's a demonic pull in a bad direction. And so to give into it is to go deeper into the dark, into this evil thing that's being done to you. They're victims of it. But then there comes a point where they do participate in it and it becomes an act of worship. And at that point, I don't feel as bad for them because they chose it.
Yeah, and that's exactly the thing that we've been saying, and goes along with this idea of Baal coming in and becoming like, hey, you don't have to believe in anything. Mm. Just don't believe in God, right? And we talked about this, I think, yesterday with Anton LaVey, this idea that he came in, he was very much a Satanist, not in the ironic sense, but he developed the ironic sense of Satanism that other people would take on as their mantle. And he created this New Ageism, or brought New Ageism to America, to the West, saying, look, he was definitely worshiping Satan and doing all the rituals. But if you just believe that you're reaching out into the universe and it's just this nice light and love thing and there's no real God and it's all good stuff, like that was in service to Anton LaVey's idea of getting people to just dump their God and their beliefs and then to fill them up with something else. And it starts off ironic. It starts off as in like, well, I don't believe in any gods. So, you know, whatever. And then it becomes more this worship. And this is where we're at in our culture today. 5 years ago, I wouldn't have said this. 5 years ago, I don't think anybody in the LGBT was knowingly worshiping.
Right.
Right. But now it's like they've emptied themselves. They've become that empty vessel and they're looking for things to worship. And I'm seeing this on Tumblr blogs and Quora posts where people are saying, I'm transgender. Who should I worship? They're really there's a lot of young kids out there actively looking for something to worship. I have examples if we have time to get into it, but this is a question being posed on TikTok by a lot of kids, and they're being given the answers by these other more famous TikTokers. Like, people are asking the question, therefore it's being answered. They're being filled with something else. Mm. Here's another one. And I think this is the one I was talking about. There's a part of it I wanted to pause on. Let me see. So this is Ishtar, ruler of sex and war. Legend has it that her sex appeal was so great that she even descended into the underworld. That sentence doesn't make sense. She even threatened to open the doors of hell if she didn't receive the bull of heaven. That's another part of her mythology. She was the breaking down of barriers. Was that a thing we hear all the time? We have to break down the barriers to normalize the things.
Wow.
That's Ishtar. This is the part I wanted to pause on. Ishtar is the goddess of boundaries. Love yourself enough to say no to others' demand on your time and energy.
Wow.
Where do we see this?
I don't know.
This is a thing I've been saying for a while that's demonic. I think I tweeted this out last year. Where I was like, sometimes Satanism does not look like pentagrams and bull blood. Sometimes it looks like self-love on a huge scale. Like, there's this semi-Christian movement going on, or that's claimed to be, on TikTok and Instagram especially, and also Twitter, where it's like, I just need to do me. I just need to love me. It's all about loving me. And I'm a better person if I don't ever sacrifice for others, if I don't ever give up too much time. If you're my friend and you need help, but I need to take care of me first. This literally is a gateway into Ishtar worship. And I've been saying this for years, where I'm like, there's something demonic about this, like, over love of self.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole idea of if you violate my boundaries, you're a terrible person.
In fact, self-love is such a proponent of Ishtar worship. I'm trying to think of how to say this, because I think I think I just need to say it.
Yeah.
That one of the ritualistic practices to Ishtar was masturbation.
Okay.
Because it is such a form of self-love. Like, and yeah. if she's the god of pornography, if she's the goddess of prostitution and of a demonic level of self-love. Not to say you should hate yourself. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this like,
like
above all others. You know, you don't put God first and others first. You put yourself first in this kind of demonic way.
Yeah.
That even this becomes a ritualistic practice of self-love in, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure that sounds extreme, but I believe it.
No, it, when we start to recognize that sexual immorality is a magical working, that it has a spiritual significance that we don't see. Like, God didn't just arbitrarily tell us to not do stuff. Like, there were deeper spiritual underpinnings and reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally,
I'm sure this will be the most controversial thing I say tonight. But like, you know who else believed that this was a form of demonic worship?
What?
Aleister Crowley. What do you think part of his rituals were? Part of his rituals were that he had to, no better way to say this. He had to jerk off so many times a day on top of all of the other sex acts that he had to do for his satanic rituals.
That's why he physically couldn't complete some of what he tried
to do. That's the part that people gloss over. He physically couldn't do it because he couldn't many times a day, so many days in a row.
That's why he was so pissed that Jack Parsons completed it, because it was like a blow to his masculinity.
Right. That's my point. Yeah, it was. He's like, I just can't make it work anymore. It's like, the body is willing, but the flesh is weak and spongy. You know, it's...
Let's move on.
It's a line from
Futurama. That's exactly enough about Aleister Crowley's junk that I want to hear about.
So here's more Inanna worship on TikTok.
8 ways Inanna said F gender norms and enjoyed gender fluidity in ancient Sumeria. Number 1, in The Passionate Inanna, the first documented scientist and writer, Ed Hedwana, high priestess says, to destroy, to build, to tear out, and to settle are yours, Inanna. To turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man are yours, Inanna. Number 2, Inanna blesses and transforms a young woman into a pili-pili by handing them a spear as you would a soldier. Number 3, in The Descent of Inanna, Enki fashions 2 beings with no gender, called a Galator and a Kurgata, to help rescue her from the underworld. Number 4, men who devoted themselves to being a Gala priest would dress in women's clothing, speak in a Sumerian dialect called Emsav, reserved for feminine speakers, change their names to a more feminine one, and so on. Number 5.
This is so upbeat. Wow. It's got the upbeat, like, what am I trying
to say? You go,
like,
girl. Transition all the kids, all the TikTok kids, go.
You trans the kids because an ancient goddess of war told you to. Like, they're saying it, right? Like, that's my point. It's not too harsh to say they're worshiping Inanna Ishtar when they're saying, we are modeling everything that we're doing in child mutilation because of a 4,000-year-old pagan deity.
Yeah. In Greek mythology, Aphrodite sleeps with Ares. She cheats on her husband Hephaestus. She sleeps with Ares, and they have... Hermaphrodite.
Yes.
That's their kid. So that's the goddess of sex.
It's the same one. Aphrodite is Ishtar and Inanna. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you caught that earlier, one of the people we were just watching said that in one of the ancient texts, the Sumerian texts about Inanna, they said that she had a hermaphrodite priest or something like that, or son or something, or kid. I don't know.
Something. Yeah. And the stories... The important part about the stories is these are the stories that gods tell about themselves. These are the stories that people who are favorable to them are telling about them. So you kind of have to pick them apart and be like, okay, what's really going on here? And just because they're written down and written in stone doesn't mean that everybody in Sumeria accepted this and thought that this was good. Maybe they did. But this concept of, like, if it's ancient, it's good. Like,
except Christianity and Judaism. Except those. Except the ones that are about self-sacrifice and things like that.
That's the other avenue I think that this old demon worship is coming back up is the whole grab onto your heritage. Like, are you Native American? You should worship the old Native American gods. Are you Indian? You should worship the Indian gods. Like all, like encouraging.
Because the only conquest of a god over a culture that's bad is the Christian god. Mm-hmm. Then it is, what's the word? Colonization. Yeah.
That we're is so bad. White, we can't even say it.
That's right. I'm just your everyday average colonizer. That's what I am. So the last point I want to make on this before we talk about Target and what they're doing is that one of the arguments I think that's made is it's not just them. It's the Christian church too, mm-hmm. right? Like we're seeing these specifically, it's happening a lot in the Methodist church where there's these people who are going out and saying, God is a female, God is transgender, God is all these things. And I've made the claim, I'm like, well, they're saying God, but like what God are they worshiping, right? So, is that, are you okay?
keep talking.
Okay. They're claiming their God. They're saying we worship a God. God is these things. But we know that our God, God of the Bible, is not the things that they're claiming. And my point has always been that they are subtly telling you who they are really worshiping. Like yes. They can say God, but it doesn't mean what we mean by it, right? And I think that I found a few examples. I'm just going to give one because it was the most blatant example of this. So here is a female pastor, Reverend Joe, talking about if she worships Ishtar.
Honey, I think it's time for a new cocktail.
Priest of Ishtar? The Mesopotamian goddess of love, sex, and war. Men who became priest of Ishtar, known as Gala, would sometimes assume non-binary gender roles, dress in women's clothing, and were allowed to engage in homosexuality. Mesopotamian societies also even depended on Ishtar for their main source of food, agriculture.
I think that they meant this as an insult, but I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like it's a compliment.
Okay, babe, do that voodoo that you do so well.
This is so cringe and creepy. Sorry, I'm gonna make you watch the whole thing.
Thanks.
Yep, I had to twice, so.
Why didn't he just do this?
Priestess of Ishtar.
After a long day of priestessing for Ishtar, refreshing.
Wow.
Yeah.
She doesn't care.
She does not care. She does not care that it was called out that she is a priestess of Ishtar. And that's my point, is these people, they're starting to get comfortable now. They've led a congregation astray to say, by the way, this is who you've been worshiping with me this whole time. And I think we're going to start seeing this in the quote unquote Christian church in the coming months and years. I think specifically next month, there will be another example of this, a big example of this, where people are like, yeah, I guess we do worship Ishtar, right? So I think that that is coming down the pike because they obviously freaking are. Like, that's the thing is we all know they are. It's just interesting that they're now telling us who they are. Mm-hmm. And yet people will still choose not to believe them. People will still choose not to believe these people when they tell you who they are. And I think that's the big mistake that's being made. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that. We cut out the little section there at the end about Target because that was kind of specific to what was going on last year, even though it was interesting. If you want to get that part of it, if you want to get all the other episodes, come over to conspiracypill.locals.com for just $5 a month or $50 for the entire year. You can get a bonus episode every single week. We stream live to conspiracypill.locals.com on Thursday nights. But you can also find the audio and video that are uploaded there later if you want to watch that on your own time. So please support the show. And thank you for watching. Have a great night, everyone, and God bless.